We turn to Genesis and chapter 40, and we're thinking about Joseph, and this week it's to do with his restoration. We're building up to his restoration in Genesis 40 and 41. In Genesis 40 we read, "It came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth," he was angry, "against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. He put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard in the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them. He served them, and they continued a season in ward." And then we read, verse 5, "that they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night." Now these dreams were very important, because this was the way that God spoke in those days. There was no Bible, it hadn't been written. Moses hadn't been born, and he wrote the first five books of the Bible. We've followed the life of Joseph, that's Jacob's second youngest son, as he suffered at the hands of his brothers over the last 2 weeks. This is the third, experiencing the way down. We saw that sometimes the way down is the way up. For Joseph, he had to go down very low before he could be lifted up. And we saw that, because this is a grown-up study, very much that this is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, of the way in which he came down in order to be lifted up and to raise us to new life as well. So Joseph must have wondered, when will the way down become the way up? It just seemed to be going further and further down. And when things seemed to be going better for him, why then something else happened and he was taken further down. So we've shown how this is a wonderful picture of the work of Jesus Christ. As far as Joseph was concerned, he was the most favoured son in Jacob's family. He was exalted and recognised by his father as a converted young man. We looked at what conversion means. The fact that the difference about Joseph was that he had experienced being born again. He had a new life. He was one of those in the Old Testament that stand out, because the life of God was in the soul of this man. That was an old book by a man called Henry Scougal. The life of God in the soul of man. That's what it means to be a Christian. It's having the life of God in your soul. So we saw that Joseph was elevated, he was converted, he was faithful to God, he was faithful to his father. And we saw the parallel in Jesus Christ. He was for all eternity past the favourite of heaven. One in every way with the Father. Rich beyond all splendour, the fairly modern Christmas carol puts it. But we learned afresh how Joseph was hated by his brothers because of the dreams which he dreamed. Dreams which suggested that one day he would see his brothers bowing down to him. Now, he didn't make those dreams up. This was God speaking to him and speaking through him to the family, telling them what would happen in the future. But the brothers didn't quite see it that way. They thought he was boasting. And when he was given a coat of many colours by his father, why, that was the last straw. Most of all, though, his brothers hated him because he was a Christian. In the Old Testament sense, he showed up their wicked ways by his godliness and the closeness to his father. And even so, the Lord Jesus was hated. First of all, in heaven, he was hated by Satan. And Satan rebelled against Christ and against God and was cast out of heaven. And then when Jesus came to earth on the mission to save you and I from our sins, why, the Lord Jesus, he also wore a coat, not of many colours, but a robe of perfect righteousness. It's often referred to in the Bible as a robe of righteousness. And he was godly. And he was godly because he was God. So as Joseph sank from favourite son to being attacked by his brothers, sold into slavery, falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, we heard last time, and thrown into prison. So the Lord Jesus, his path was down. He was hated by the priests and the Pharisees. He allowed himself to be arrested, to be whipped or scourged, to have a crown of thorns pressed into his very head, and to be crucified for sinners, for you, for me, sinners like us. Well, that's how far we've got. Now we come to this, the faithful testimony. This is our first heading, the faithful testimony. Joseph has been convicted of a crime he did not commit. His master, Potiphar, had a very wayward wife. Now, her life story could have been written by one of today's novelists. And if you ever come across one of today's novels or see one of the films on television, you can't really produce a successful drama without unfaithfulness in marriage. They wouldn't sell unless there was some of that. Unnecessary filthy language, plus more vices and sins. New sins, but there's no such thing as a new sin. They're as old as the book of Genesis. And here he is in Pharaoh's prison because he would not lie with Potiphar's wife. He would not sleep with her. But she made sure Potiphar thought Joseph had abused his trust. And so he goes to prison. But isn't in prison, as in service for Potiphar, Joseph is blessed by God. Both Potiphar's business and the jailer's occupation were prosperous under Joseph. They prospered. He's given favour in the sight of the keeper of the prison. It's a reminder that even while he was suffering, he did good to others. The Lord Jesus Christ, at the height of his suffering, blessed a dying thief. And he was brought into conversion at the last second of his life, or the last few minutes of his life, before he died and went to heaven rather than hell, because Jesus remembered him and looked to him and forgave him all his sin. Well, the jail manager left everything in Joseph's hands, though he was still in prison. We have more parallels with the saving work of our Lord Jesus Christ. But that's the faithful testimony. Now the faithful messenger. Joseph had to be a faithful messenger. He has two companions in prison, a butler and a baker. I take it that the butler was responsible for all Pharaoh's food and drink, especially the drink, and making sure that his wine was never poisoned. We have this picture, I don't know if we get it from this particular time, of the wine taster. That was the butler. And he would taste the wine, and if he dropped dead, you'd know someone had poisoned the master's wine. And so this was the sort of job, at any rate, the butler had. And a baker, who was in charge of all the cooking, the baking for the king. And they're left in prison because they've upset the king in some way. There's many more prisoners there. These are just two of them. No reason to believe these became great friends to Joseph. He was put in charge of them. And both of them, we read, had offended their lord Pharaoh, and probably that wasn't hard to do. It's here, however, that Joseph proves to be a faithful messenger of the Lord. Here's a picture of the good news and the bad news. I remember hearing the man who preached, and it was the man through whom I was converted, his sermon, announce his sermon for the next day was the bad news of the gospel. And I thought, well, what on earth does that mean? The bad news of the gospel. Well, the bad news of the gospel is if you don't believe it, then there is only judgment for you. The faithful messenger is the man that brings the good news and the bad news. He had two companions, a butler and a baker. They're left in prison, and Joseph is put in charge of them. They'd offended their Lord, and in those days, Old Testament times, before the scriptures were anywhere near complete, God spoke through dreams and visions. Does he still speak through dreams and visions? No, he doesn't speak through them. He may use them. You might have a dream and it might really alarm you. I've had dreams like that. And it makes you, when you wake up in the morning, shake and you think, well, I need to do something about this. But it's not a message. God isn't telling you things in the dream. it's just a dream, it can be a bit of a bone shaker. So that's the way God spoke. He spoke through dreams, through Joseph, Daniel, others who had dreams, and it was clear that these dreams needed to be interpreted. Most dreams you have, you don't think, I need an interpretation. You might think, well, I just need a good night's sleep, but you don't need an interpretation. But these were dreams like visions where God actually spoke. And he may still use dreams, but not to communicate today. Well, what was the message to the butler? Joseph observed that both men, the butler and the baker, were very down in the mouth. So he said, "Why do you look so sad today?" And the butler told him his dream. "In my dream," and I presume he was depressed as he spoke it, because he didn't know what it meant, he said, "There was a vine before me." And something he was familiar with, the vine. And yet he wasn't, because he used the fruit of the vine every day, but he didn't get it straight off the vine. He got it from a bottle to serve the king, to serve Pharaoh's wine. Well, that job had been taken away from him, and now he saw this vine in his dream, and he saw himself. And there were three branches to the vine. Why three? And as he watched, there was a blossom shot through. It happens in a dream. It doesn't happen that quickly in real life. The clusters brought forth ripe grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup. Now, you know, that's not the recognized method of producing wine. It takes longer. I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. It was a picture, and he didn't understand it. Now, to us, that's obviously good news. Why was he so sad? Sometimes we just don't recognize good news. Oh, the number of times I've stood here and preached the gospel to you, number of times I've told you that God will receive you and forgive all your sins. Isn't that the best news you've ever heard in your life? And yet you still look sad. And you still perhaps think, well, is it for me? Am I really one that God loves? Does he really care about me? I don't know. But the good news is the gospel, that Jesus Christ has died for sinners. Are you a sinner? Well, of course you are. So he died for you. He died for people like you. And if you come to him, then it was for you he died. That's good news. Sometimes we just don't recognize it. Joseph was given the interpretation, and he was faithful. He gave the butler the good news. Oh, as we long to give you and to give to people, oh, that we could tell the people in this street, in this area, the good news of Jesus Christ, because it is good news. It's so wonderful. There's no such thing. I was reading a preacher today who said there should be no such thing as a miserable Christian, because we have everything to be happy about, to be joyful about, what Christ has done for us. So I want you to know it. Oh, we so much want to tell to people the good news of the gospel. Verses 13 to 15, in summary, you're being restored in 3 days. Three branches, 3 days. Opportunity grasped. He said, "I'm a Hebrew. Can you please remember me? I was stolen away. I'm innocent of the crime which I've been put in here for. Please remember me when you have a chance to talk to your master." But then the baker came forward, and he wanted good news. There are some people who think, well, I'll go to church because they're going to tell me some good news. They're going to tell me I'm going to heaven because I'm good. I'm a nice person. I'm a really good lady or a good chap, and I want the good news. And they're sadly mistaken when they come and they hear the bad news of the gospel. Well, the baker heard, he expected similar good news, and he said, "Well, in my dream, I had three white baskets on my head. Top basket was full of all manner of baked meats, cakes, pastries, croissants, for Pharaoh. And the birds did eat them out of my basket." Well, Joseph could easily have given him a nice interpretation. If he was one of today's churchmen, he'd have said, "Well, the Lord is pleased with you, and the Lord is going to bless you. And just as you fed the birds, why, you're going to feed many people in the days to come." That's what your average clergyman would have said in his interpretation of this man's dream. But Joseph knew there was bad news. And he sounds blunt, but he just tells him as it is. He's the messenger of God to both men. We have good news, and we have bad news. For you tonight, for those who may hear on the recording, from God's holy word, the Bible, the good news, if you repent, turn to Christ, believe on him, not just in him, but believe on him, trust, put your life in his hands, you will be forgiven, you will be restored, you'll be given new life, you're assured of eternal life. But Joseph also gave the baker the bad news, not what he wanted to hear. Oh, when you go to church and you're not a Christian, you hear what you don't want to hear, but you hear what's good for your soul. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, says the proverb. 3 days, Pharaoh will hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat your flesh. Oh, if the preacher was saying that to us, we'd say, I'm not going to that church anymore. But you know, it was the truth. For this man, it was the truth. So we have bad news. There is a hell. God will punish all who refuse his love. To face God on the day of death or the day of judgment without Christ is the most awful prospect. How can you face that, friend? To die, having lived and heard the word of God, to die without Christ, to die without knowing your sins forgiven, when you had the opportunity to turn and believe. Joseph had to tell them both. We have to tell you both, and we have to tell to sinners round what a good Saviour we have found, but also the prospect for those who reject him. Joseph was despised and rejected, just as Jesus was despised and rejected. For 3 weeks now, we've emphasized that. It's not just a story. It actually happened. We learn a lot about human nature and about the new nature Christ gives to those who trust him. But the main lesson we learn from Joseph is that his experience was an Old Testament picture painted for us in Genesis of the life and work of Jesus Christ. He came from heaven. Down, 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 down. The Lord Jesus came lower and lower. He was born as a man, a baby. That's going down from being the eternal Son of God in heaven. And in a stable, there was no room for him in the inn. And right from the start, Herod was trying to kill him. His life was down, down, down. And it went down from there. Because from then on, as he went around doing good, he was despised and rejected. The religious leaders, eventually the crowd that should have loved him, called out, crucify him, crucify him, release Barabbas, the thief. Even God his Father, as he hung upon the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Even God seemed to turn against him. Did God the Father forsake Christ? Yes and no. Yes, he punished him. In our place, he turned away. For the first time in all eternity, God the Father turned away from Jesus. Jesus knew the wrath and anger of God his Father. But no, God was in Christ, reconciling thousands of sinners to himself. He was there, in his Son. The way up is the way down. But not yet. The way up is not yet to come for Joseph. He was forsaken. The final picture we have of Joseph in the prison is of Joseph at the depth of his suffering. Verse 14, he turns to the butler. But think on me when it shall be well with thee. Show kindness and make mention of me to Pharaoh and bring me out of this house. But, verse 20, Pharaoh's birthday, he restored the butler, he hanged the baker, as Joseph had interpreted. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph. The faithful Saviour, as Jesus hung in agony on the cross of Calvary, he felt forsaken. He was forsaken by those who should have loved him. But he remembered the dying thief. He didn't forget. And he will not forget one
of those thousands upon thousands upon thousands who have turned to him and begged his mercy and just asked him to save them and meant it. He won't forget you. He will remember you. Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom. He remembered the dying thief. He felt forsaken by God. This was as low as Christ came, suffering hell in the place of all who come to trust in him. Who did he die for? He died for me. Oh, I know he died for me. Did he die for you? Well, he didn't die for you if you don't repent, because you'll be dying for yourself. You'll be punished. But he died for you if you believe in him. And God knows those who will come to him. Come to him. Finally, the faithful provision. Pharaoh also had a dream, and it's the beginning of chapter 41, where we read, "It came to pass at the end of 2 full years." So Joseph has been languishing in this prison for another 2 years. "Came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed. He stood by the river. There came up out of the river 7 well-favored kine, cows, fat fleshed, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, 7 other cattle came up after them out of the river, ill-favored, lean-fleshed, and stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river. And the ill-favored and lean-fleshed kine did eat up the 7 well-favored and fat kine." Imagine that. It must have been quite horrific in his dream to see these thin cows eating up the fat cows. Just something that that woke him up. So Pharaoh awoke, you would, wouldn't you? "And he slept and he dreamed a second time, and behold, 7 ears of corn came up upon one stalk, rank and good." This isn't quite so horrific as the cows, by the way. "And behold, 7 thin ears, and blasted with the east wind, sprang up after them. And the 7 thin ears of corn devoured the 7 rank and full ears. And Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And in the morning his spirit was troubled. He called for all the magicians of Egypt, all the wise men thereof. Pharaoh told them his dream. He said, it's a dream, it's a message. And I know it comes from somewhere above me." He may not have said it comes from God. It did come from God. "And he said to them," he said, "you've got to tell me what it means." And they just said, "well, it's just a bad dream," or, "we don't know what it means." None of them could interpret it to Pharaoh. And then the butler came along. He scratched his head and he said, "I do remember my faults this day. I do remember that I've been neglectful. And Pharaoh was angry with me and put me in ward in the captain of the king guard's house, both me and the chief baker. And we dreamed a dream in one night." He's telling all this to Pharaoh. "I and he, we dreamed each man according to the interpretation. And you know, there was a young man, a Hebrew, servant to the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams. To each man according to his dream he did interpret. And it came to pass as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me, he restored to mine office, and him, he hanged." Well, this made Pharaoh think. "And he sent and he called Joseph. They brought him out of the dungeon. He had a good shave, changed his raiment, and he came in to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I've dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I've heard say of thee that thou canst interpret a dream. And Joseph could have said, yes, I'm very good at that. Do you know, it's one of my best qualities. I've got a master's degree in interpreting dreams. And so I'm here to tell you that, yes, you do well to restore me to my office." No, he didn't say that. He said, it is not in me. God shall give thee an answer of peace. He's talking to a man that had many gods, a man who worshipped the river and the frogs that lived in the land, and various other things were idols and objects of worship. But Joseph says, God, the one true God, he is the only one that can give you an answer of peace. So Pharaoh told him about the cows and about the corn, and he says, it was 7 cows, 7 ears of corn. And Joseph said, the dream of Pharaoh is one dream. God has showed Pharaoh what he's about to do. The 7 good cows are 7 years, And the seven good ears are 7 years. The dream is one. The seven thin and ill-favoured kine that came up after them are 7 years. And the seven empty ears blasted with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he shows unto Pharaoh. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. And after that, 7 years of famine. And all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt. The famine will consume the land. And the plenty shall not be known in the land of reason by that famine following, for it shall be very grievous. The dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice, because it's established by God. Not the river Nile, not the frogs, not your various statues you've got hanging around the place. No, by God, Pharaoh, the one true God. God will shortly bring it to pass. This is something you've got to do something about. Let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this. Let him appoint officers over the land. Take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the 7 plenteous years. Let them gather all the food of those good years that come and lay up corn under the land of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities, and that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through famine. You see what Joseph was doing? He was not only telling the good news and the bad news. This was both, wasn't it? Good news, that we're going to have 7 good years. No, but you see, you're going to have 7 years of famine. Now, any preacher knowing the gospel, talking to men and women who don't know, will have a similar message and say, you know, you're young now. You're going to have 7 good years. You're going to have years when everything's going to go well for you. You're going to university, you're going to learn, you're going to come away with honours, you're going to get a great job, you're going to get married, you're going to have 1.5 cars, 2.4 children, you're going to be an average person, you're going to be really blessed. But you know, the bad years will follow. The bad years will come, the years when you'll look and you'll say, what good are all these things to me? I've got money coming out of my ears, I've got cars, I've got luxury, but how happy has it made me? The 7 good years are always followed by 7 years of famine without Christ. Without Jesus as your Saviour. Your life may seem good and rosy, and maybe it isn't. Maybe you've already started those bad years. That's good news. It means you'll believe what I say, and you'll come and you'll say, yes, I can see what you mean. I had some good years as a youngster, but now life is empty and dull. If you don't feel like that, you will one day. Oh, the time will come. Do you know, we know many, many old people who love the Lord Jesus, and they come to the end of their lives, and they'll say to you, do you know, God kept the good until last. These last years have been wonderful with the Saviour. Oh, I've lived on my own, but the Lord has been so close to me, so near to me. Oh, the 7 years earlier have become 7 great years now, the end of my life. But you talk to any old person that doesn't know Christ, and they're full of regrets, and they look back and they say, somehow it all seems so short. Where have all the years gone? Well, you remember that the 7 fat cows were eaten up by the 7 thin cows, and the 7 fat ears of corn were swallowed up wholesale by the 7 thin ears of corn. Well, that's what happens when you're not a Christian, when you don't know Christ. Those latter years just swallow up, and you look and you say, where have the years gone? Where have all my opportunities gone? Why is it that I can't even bring myself to go to that little church now? Because I'm too proud. My heart is too hardened. Why leave it that long? Now is the time to say, with Pharaoh, yes, we need to sort this out. I need to get my life sorted out. I need to make provision. I need to come to the Lord now and see that my latter years are full of meaning and joy and peace and hope, and that eternity, that whole realm of eternity forever and ever, will be in the presence of God. Oh, may the Lord help all of us to learn the lesson. Joseph told him the truth, and Pharaoh, as you know, appointed Joseph. He said, there's nobody as so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house. So Joseph is lifted up, and we see how the Lord Jesus, at the end of his days on earth, was lifted up. After his death, he was buried, and in the resurrection, the Lord lifted him up and gave him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and every tongue in heaven and earth shall confess him Lord of glory. The way down is the way up, and Jesus has demonstrated it to us, and that's the way it is for you. The way down in repentance, falling before God and saying, I am a sinner, I need to be forgiven. Even tonight, Lord, forgive me, receive me, grant that I might know my sins are forgiven, that I belong to thee forever. Let's turn to our closing hymn.